If you would turn in your Bible, please, to the Gospel of John and chapter 12. Gospel of John and chapter 12. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bend head and heart in your presence. Deal with us according to your grace and your mercy. And our Father will thank you. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we've come to chapter 12, as you know. And in chapter 12, the Gentiles, in chapter 12, verse 20 and 21, wanted to see Jesus, the Passover time. And in the process of wanting to see, Philip and Andrew escorted them to where Jesus was, probably in the temple, in the middle of the crowd, and they wanted to see him. The Lord Jesus Christ does not acknowledge them or address them. They're there, but he does make a statement in the light of their presence. And he says in verse 23, Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." In other words, they want to know the Lord, they want to meet the Lord, they want to know. But they can't. They can't. Until he goes to the cross and makes that possible. You can't know the God in Christ. You can know the flesh, you can't know the God in Christ. Can't know him. You have to go and understand he has to go to the cross and pay the penalty for sin. Now, having said that, and so that's what he does. He says, everybody listen, I'm here, my hour is come, I'm going to go to the cross and be crucified and risen again, as it were, and then you can know, then you can come to me, I make it possible to receive, and receive you, for you to receive me, for me to know you in a special way. Now, so heaven, in the light of that, to glorify. Now, when you slide down to verse 20, remember you're going to, three illustrations, 24, 25, and 26, all about his crucifixion and the believer's relationship to it. Now, when you come down to verse 27, my soul is troubled. What shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into the world. And we share together the horrendous and horrible setting that he was going to have to go in the garden. This is like the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's going to have to drink of that cup, as it were, and fall to the ground. And on his knees, as it were, and sweat as great drops of blood. This cup, God, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, having said that, you then come to verse 28. He then turns around and says, talks to God the Father, Father, glorify thy name. That's what he asked for him to do. Now, remember now, he's asking something that is they ought to be very familiar with. Over and go to me with me to chapter 17, right next door. Chapter 17. And you will note in verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son. Why? That thy Son may also glorify thee. Sliding down to verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth, and have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So, He's going to go, and he's talking, looking to God in the light of the garden, not my will but thine be done. He's looking to God in the light of the wonderful reason and purpose he came to die on Calvary's cross, to glorify God, to honor God, to bring forth and out, to make clear, wonderful, and plain, and simple, that God is able to save whosoever that would trust him with all their heart. And thus, so my soul, so I'm going to look for God to be glorified, and you won't understand any of history with the sin, suffering, sorrow, heartache, headache. You won't understand it unless you understand the cross. You understand sin. To understand sin, you've got to understand God's saving grace. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, you then come to verse 28. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Now, God is responding to our Lord, and our Lord's looking to God the Father to honor himself. And the Father says he's going to do just that. And all the glory and all the wonder that is to take place, the Father, verse 28, confirms it. Now, in doing so, the people hear God the Father talking to God the Son in the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ. They hear him. They hear the voice. So, does anyone hear God? They hear the voice. They're listening. They hear it. No question. Wow. And think of it now. When's the last time anyone hears God? Thinks about God, a personal God, religious God, ritual God, but no personal God. No personal. Think of the Islam and that, all of the chanting and praying to God, to Allah up there, where they think he is, but he never answers. There's never an answer, never a tone, never a voice. Wow. But God, what you do? We're in the presence. We're in the presence of you, God, so we want to hear. We want to understand. Now, hang on to that. Now, so their response, they're hearing it. So no question, they hear God the Father speak to our Lord. Their response, verse 29. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said, it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Their response, it is thundering, 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 there has been thunder. That's what they said. It's actually thundered, perfect tense, and we heard it. Or maybe an angel like Zacchaeus. Or maybe like that. We heard it. Zacchaeus heard the angel. We heard it. But our Lord has it in verse 28, I have both glorified and will glorify it again. They didn't hear those words. That's clear, simple language. They didn't hear the language. They didn't understand the speech. They didn't get it. All they could figure out, it thundered. Now, in order to grab that and have that, if you would. And remember now, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is God. And right easy to see. Over chapter 10, hold your finger in chapter 12. Chapter 10 and verse 30, you know, we did. Chapter 10 and verse 30. I and my Father are one. O-N-E, one. Back over to chapter 14. And in chapter 14, verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father. Also, from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, verse 9, have I been so long time with you, yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Now, back over to chapter 12, And thus they heard, the Lord heard a specific, had a wonderful understanding of what God the Father said. The people did not. All they could attribute it to is thunder, thunder, thunder. It must have thundered. Thus, in the light of that, let's just do what we've done the last time or two as we proceeded. Let me just go back and bounce off of you as you travel through history. How did God's people respond to God speaking? And remember, Moses, up to Moses, they didn't have a Bible. They just had God. God, wonderful person, communicating to the heart that would open and have it. So now, over if you would please, to the book of Job, chapter 37. Job 37. And may I pick up, we were there, but just to refresh my mind and yours about thunder. God speaks, the connection between thunder and God speaking. Thunder, God speaking. Thunder, we had thunder the other day. Thunder, that is just loud, and it gets my attention. A voice, like talking, like we do, that gets my attention in a different way. Now, so Job 37, picking up, if I may, in verse 4. After it a voice roareth, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency. He will not stay them with his voice when his voice is heard. God, verse 5, God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. Verse 12, and it is turned around about by his counsels, that they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world in the earth. God, and you're speaking, and God, this voice, thunder, over the end. Job chapter 40. Job chapter 40. Like God, when you speak, it you pay attention like thunder. That's right. Chapter 40, verse 6. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Can you do that? Well, no. God, you when you speak, it demands attention, and that's what it demands. But here in John chapter 12, you don't have to go back there yet. If you went back to chapter 12, they heard thunder because they weren't in the place to get the message, simple message. Their heart wasn't ready. Their ear was not ready to hear. All they caught was the thunder of the authoritative awesomeness of God. Now, if you would, over to to do it a little differently. Over to Revelation. All the way over. Revelation. And if I may, in chapter 19. So from beginning to end, anyway, God spake. Remember we did Leviticus and all of that. And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. So over and over again, so there's no question, God, you're able to communicate quite well. And the absence of your voice today is in question. Thus, chapter 19, Revelation, picking up, if I may, in verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, a voice of mighty thunderings, plural, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. So when heaven speaks, if you want in tune, you don't get it. But boy, do you get the earthly part of it, the thunder and everything. You catch that. Absolutely, you catch that. Now, having said that, and be right here, over to chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse 5. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, Write these words which are true and faithful. How do we get the Bible? God gave it. God gave it. God gave it. As you know, in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed. So when the original language, the original communication that was written down was God-breathed words. They're God's words. So you don't have to say, that's how they... Now, it's true they got all these copies, but that, without all that, doing all that, we have a wonderful, wonderful, accurate Bible. Now, in the light of that, over to, well, while you're here, chapter 22, and in verse 20, He which testifieth these things, that's the Lord, saith, Surely I come quickly. And write it down. God, you wrote, you said, you're coming quickly. Now, God, you said that. That's right. I did. Even so, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We respond to it. So, God, how do we end? God, your word. We end with an understanding that you said you're coming, and we're to understand that to be factual, and that you've said it, and factual and actual. And so, therefore, God, we're looking for that to happen. Now, having said that little bit, over to Hebrews and chapter 1. And you would recall specifically chapter 1, Hebrews, verse 1. I'll read it for context again. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He's the creator. That's right. And he's the heir. And we just did that a week ago in the evening. Now, he's the heir. Now, having said that, God spake by the prophets, verse 1. God spoke by his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, gave his words and his works, his witness to the people, and all they had to do was pay attention. The trouble is, they didn't pay attention, as they should. While you're here in Hebrews, one other place that remind you and myself, Hebrews chapter 12, speaking of the Ten Commandments, etc., when they said, God spoke to them clearly in their language. Language is no problem with God. Chapter 12, picking up, please, in verse 19, the response at Mount Sinai to people about it. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, verse 18, a mount that you might be touched, that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. So he's talking to the believer in the light of the Mount Sinai. Verse 19, the sound of the trumpet, a sound of a trumpet, the voice of the words, which voice? They that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. And they didn't hear. They didn't want to hear God anymore. They didn't. God, I don't want to hear you. I know you. I don't want to know you. Then you won't. Then you won't. Wow. Now, keeping that in mind, and remember now, our Lord, when it came to the prophets, he said in Matthew 23 in that, he said, listen, you guys have killed the prophets. The prophets are raised up to communicate to you, going in the wrong direction, what I'm saying. You killed them. You didn't listen to them. You killed them. That's what you did. So God, here we are looking, and we want to have ears to hear, as it were, John chapter 6. Gospel of John chapter 6. The people thought it was thunder. They didn't hear. They didn't get it. And thunder. But it wasn't a question. It was a question. If your heart was right, you would have heard exactly the same thing our Lord did. But they weren't in the place to have that. So now, ears to hear. Ears to hear. Over, if you would. And chapter 6 of the Gospel of John, verse 60. The people, remember now, this is an attitude of the people. Verse, just to give you all kinds of ways to say it. Chapter 6, verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" So when you start talking about stuff we don't like, and don't understand, and we don't want, we become deaf. We don't want to hear. We don't want to hear. How come you aren't here? I don't want to hear that. And we don't. We don't hear it. Now, and sliding down, well, you're here in this lovely section, sliding down to verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Wonderful, wonderful life. Full, pregnant words. They're your words, God. We're reading your words. Hang on. And God, we want to get to know what you mean, what you say. What do you want? What are we to understand about you, which we couldn't possibly know without your word? So here we are. The words are pregnant with life. That's why we look at them and read them in 18 different ways. For what? That they're full of life, full of wonderment. They're pregnant like seeds. So we want to get the... When God says... I'll do it another way. God so loved the world. L-O-V-E, stop, move. How long did it... How long, L-O-V-E, does it say to do love? Love, L-O-V-E, love. Love is an, it has to be, it's a full of life, isn't it? When you're being loved, isn't it different than a word, L-O-V-E? You're being loved, 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 loved. Love, it's pregnant, big, big words, big words. Words are full of life. Peace, P-E-A-C-E, full of life, full of life. Joy, J-O-Y, say it. But then joy, the experiencing of the word, the truth, the reality. Now, having said that little bit, if you would, over, while you're in John, over, if you would, chapter 8. John chapter 8. May I go directly to verse 43. Remember our Lord speaking to the Jews. Verse 43, chapter 8. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, verse 44. Sliding down to verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore... hear them not. Why not? Because you're not of God. You aren't even thinking about God. You don't even care about God. John chapter 9. Remember the blind man talking? And he gets this, you guys, you know, I'm trying to tell you, God healed my eye. Totally blind from birth. And he did it. I said that to you. You know I've been blind all these years because you pass me when you go out of the temple. You know I am. But you don't want to know that. You don't want to give him credit. It isn't my eyes. You just don't want to give him any credit. Chapter 9, verse 27. His answer. Then he answered them, his inquisitors, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? He's getting, you guys don't want to hear, do you? No, we don't. Chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep, opposite, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. No, it isn't a question you didn't hear. It's a question you thought thundered an angel. We don't know what it said. We don't know it's another language. Ah, problem. Chapter 13 of Matthew. Chapter 13. Remember our Lord, the parable, the wonderful illustrations of history to be outworked. Chapter 13, picking up, if I may, in verse 9. Hear, who hath ears? That's what we have them for. In order to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. The disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So they got the parables of the sower, etc., and Peter, James, and John got the understanding of it because they wanted to understand what he was saying. The sliding down, why didn't they want to hear? Verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest, they don't want to have it happen, lest at any time they should see, they don't want to see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. They don't want to know. They don't want to be saved. They don't want to understand. They don't want to have any of that. Wow. And thus, therefore, to the disciple, verse 16, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. You want to know me and understand. That's the starting point. And therefore, verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. And you're going to explain it to them. You didn't understand. You should have understood, but you didn't have a heart to understand. You don't want to hear what I'm saying to you. You don't want to understand what I'm saying to you. Now, ears to hear, let them hear. Seek the Lord with all the heart, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Seek the Lord. And we did that over and over and over again in the Old Testament. And our Lord will say it in Hebrews 11:6, you know. Easy. Without faith, it's what? Impossible. Impossible means what? Impossible. Without faith, it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please, to know, to honor me. You must believe that I am. He is. You're in my presence. So don't start saying, well, God is way out somewhere. No, God said, I'm right here. Hang on, we'll pick that up in a second. Now, do you want to hear me or don't you? Do you want to know what I'm saying? Do you know what I want for your life? Do you want to know? Oh, well, not really. If I like it, I'll take it. Otherwise, tell me a little bit and I'll tell you whether I want to hear any more. And guess what? You don't hear anything. Tell me a little bit and I'll tell you if I like it. Then you don't hear anything, do you? Nothing. No. Wrong attitude. You must want what I want. I'm God. Wonderful. Wonderful. And thus, God, here we are looking. And without faith it's impossible to please you, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God, you pay a rewarder, a payer in full. God, are we going to be disappointed if we turn to you? Never, never, never. If we're going to count on you, no, are we going to be ashamed? Nope, not at all. Not at all. And our Lord, without turning there, think of all those different places at his baptism, at his up in the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son, the Son of my love. Hear ye him. Are you hearing him? How can we hear him? That's why I gave my word. That's my way, that's why my word is recorded. These things have I written unto you. That's why they're written down. We read. Simple language. Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, English. We read it. Wow. There it is. So now, God, we're looking to you. And he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what you have to say. And it's all about you. Chapter 5 of John. John in chapter 5. Oh, God. It thundered. No. God said some clear, simple sentences to understand. And you and I are able to read them right now. John chapter 5, picking up, if I may, in verse 36. But I have a greater witness, said the Lord Jesus, than that of John the Baptist. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, but sent him ye believe not. The Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, word become flesh, to know. God said it. Remember, think of the parable, Luke and all that. The parable of the householder, the landholder, and the land, you know, the owner sent the servants to see how the harvest and how they were managing the harvest, the grape and all of that, and to get a report. And each time they came and killed them and got rid of them. And finally the master said, I'll send my son. And when I sent his son, and they said, clearly, this is the heir. Let's kill him. And they did. God sent his son to say something. No one's listening to the prophets. My word. I'm sending my son. And they crucified him. They crucified him. Wow. Now, in the light of that, and in verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And so you can go, you don't have to do it, Luke 24 and all of that. The scriptures, Psalms, the Moses, the Psalms, the prophets, they all speak of me. Read the Bible, it's what? All about God, who gave it. So when you read the Bible, written word, recorded, I'm going to think about God properly, with understanding. And when I think about God, I'm in his presence. And God, you're right here. Uh-huh. And you said this. That's right. So do I need to hear him up here? No. I just need to hear him in that book. And then God gets it in the heart. Thy word have I hidden. Psalm 119. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that what? I might not sin against you. And when I start hiding the word in my heart, pretty soon, God, you're talking to me. You betcha. And when I want something and I want you to do it, I'm going to let you know. You don't have to guess. I'm going to help you. That's how it works. It's a wonderful thing. No guessing. Wow. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, remember when you come to the end of the Bible, Revelation 18 and 20, 22. Don't add or don't subtract. Don't do it. Just get what he said. Don't add, don't subtract. Over if you would now, in the light of that, over if you would please, to the John, you're not, we're still in John. John chapter 12, picking up, if I may, I'm going to read it, and then the next statement. 12 and 29. The people, therefore, that stood by heard it. There isn't a question of that. They said, no question. It isn't a question. Did the people at Mount Sinai hear? Absolutely. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, he said, what did he say? This voice, this articulate sound, syllables, understand. This voice came not, N-O-T, because, a little preposition because, on account of, it gives you the ground, the basis, the reason for the action. This voice did not come because, on account of me, said the Lord. I didn't need to hear it. You did. But for your, the little word for, the same as the word because, but for, on account of your sakes. It's you. It's all about you. Do you understand? This whole conversation, my whole existence, is to help you understand God in the flesh, to understand how to know Him. Wow. That's what you did. That's right. That's what I did. And I want you to know. So over now, just to get that little bit, at least a taste of it, Revelation, John chapter 11, and picking up, if I may, John 11, and in verse 15. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Remember, this is with Lazarus when he died. I am not there for your sakes that I was not there. To the intent, to the purpose, you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And we did all that, you know. And in the process, God, you do things to get us to pay attention. That's right. Verse 42. 11:42. And I knew, I'll read verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Now, this is when Lazarus is going to come forth. Verse 42. And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by all around, they're all Mary, Martha, they're all standing here, the Jews. I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me. I'm talking to you, God, the Father, so not for me, for them. They need to hear. There's a wonderful God, and you hear well, you speak well, you understand well, and I'm communicating with you. And they don't know how to do that. They can't. That's why the Greeks and the Philip and Andrew came, and why our Lord said, you understand, if I don't go to the cross, it'll never happen. Thus, in the light of that, John chapter 5, back over to verse 34. 5 and 34. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that they might be saved. So why are you saying all this? Why do you say what you do, God? I'm trying to help you get saved. I'm trying to help you understand the wonderful saving grace of God in a most wonderful way. So now, one other place that will help. Matthew chapter 11. Wonderful. Matthew in chapter 11. Picking up if I can. Oh, in verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. God, you know how to communicate, and to the heart that is open. Verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So God, here you are, and you're willing to speak. You just have to have a heart that wants to hear it. That's all. You gave your word so that we would know and that we would understand and that we could honor you the better. No question. Hebrews chapter 3. The great problem in the light of God and hearing and understanding is that they have to believe. And that's the same with the Psalms and here, Hebrews chapter 3. And may I pick up in verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice. How so? Because it's quoting the Psalm. Read the Psalm, and you'll hear the voice. Well, harden not your heart, verse 8, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with them, etc., etc. And they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest, verse 12, any of you have an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And therefore, exhort one another to daily, as you call today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Today, verse 15, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. And that was the problem. Chapter 4, verse 1. Or verse 19 of chapter 3. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Therefore, chapter 4, verse 1, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. In other words, that you never finish. You looked at the menu but never got any food. You started but never got anywhere. You talked about it, and that's it. Verse 2, reason. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why didn't it benefit them? Because it wasn't mixed. Think of mixture, intermingling. When you eat food, here's your stomach and esophagus, and you go down the stomach, and here's your small intestine, you know, and the small intestine's going to do a wonderful thing. It's going to take that food that's been prepared and absorb all the nutrients and stuff in it, and then send it to the large intestine, etc. Now, here's it's going to do that. It's called assimilation? The assimilation of the nutrients in the food, through that small intestine, into the blood, into the body. Wow! It becomes part of. I bet all of you are exhibiting breakfast at the moment, aren't you? You are also exhibiting the lack of breakfast at the moment. You assimilated it. It wasn't mixed with faith. God said it, you didn't believe it. It didn't go anywhere. You got nothing out of it. When you're all done, you have to hear it all over again 5,000 times. Now, so in the light of that, Romans. The book of Romans. Romans chapter 10, if I may. Romans chapter 10, may I go to verse 6. Remember now, this is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 30. They have the Ten Commandments. Moses is giving them, the elders and the communicating them. And in chapter 30, Moses is rehearsing the whole ball of wax before he dies. They're going to cross the river Jordan. Moses isn't. He's giving him the second law, as it were. He's going to give him an update on all that God had given, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Now, God is going to do that in Deuteronomy. And in there, this is what we're going to read, is quoted. God said, I'll read it, because it'll be similar, very much. Chapter 10, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith, by the way, believe God, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above. In other words, we don't have to go and find Christ. We don't have to go and up or down or anywhere. We don't have to go and hunt for him. Verse 7. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead? We don't have to do that. Go down to the grave. We don't have, well, he died. No, he rose again. He's present. Uh-huh. Therefore, what saith it? The word is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Believe my words. Believe them. You have them. If you were an Israelite, would you not have been at Mount Ebal and quoted from, depending on which side, Ebal and the cursing and the blessing? Did you not yell, say with all of the other side of the six tribes, blessed be God? Weren't the words in your mouth? Isn't there a verse of scripture you could quote? Hopefully. Isn't there something? Isn't the word right here next to you? It's in you. You don't have to go to heaven. You don't have to go to hell. No one's there yet. You don't have to do that. It's right here. Now, what are you doing with it? That's what God's saying. It's in your mouth. You're reading it. You got it in front of you. They didn't have the privilege of the whole Bible like you do. We do. We turn verse after verse. Why? Because this is what God you said. And therefore we're supposed to believe it and honor it. Wow. So God, here we are looking. And thus, God speak. You are. Thank you. Verse 8. verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. 4, verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, the Gentile, but for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's right there. There it is. How far is it? How far is God away? Right next to you. What are you going to do? Believe it. It isn't a big deal. Honor it. That's what it is. And we have the wonderment, dear friend. We aren't reading a book by Plato. some book. Make-believe Jefferson or Benjamin Franklin. We aren't reading something they wrote. We're here. This gone. You're reading what God has said, and you're in his presence. Do you understand? It isn't a question of what you do. It's what God does, and you got to believe. And if you don't believe, it ain't going to happen. You want to hear God? I'm reading it. Wow. Closing. You know all these things. If I can, Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, appropriately. Revelation 1:10. I was in the Spirit, said John, on the Lord's day, that's this day, and I heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, etc., talking to me, and it said, and what the voice was, the voice clear, John, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, etc. And so, God, the voice is very clear. It is, I got it. Therefore, and you're writing down what he said. That's right. So we turn over to chapter 3, as you know, the end of the church age, historically and prophetically, a church in Laodicea. And we come to that which you know. Laodicea, I am, you're neither hot nor cold. I will spew thee out of my mouth. you're rich, you're good, you're all proud, you're all caught up in yourself, and you want me to honor. I don't honor you. I won't honor you. And he doesn't. They are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Verse 17. Sliding down. God, what are you going to say to this? That you're outside. That's right. I want to get inside. It's supposed to be my building, my sanctuary, my place. Where am I? I'm not in it. I'm not part of it. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Oh, which door? Front door, back door? No. A door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, what door? I will come into him. It's the door of your heart. Remember the old Catholic picture of the wall and the vines growing up in the door. There's a door, and when you look at the door, remember, it has no handle on it. There's no way to get in. It has to be open from the inside. I'm knocking. Now, did you hear what I'm doing? Yeah, I got it. I got the instructions. As many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. I hear them receive me. Verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I will come in. I don't have to pull. I don't have to push. I don't have to plead. I don't have to do anything. That's right. That's right. I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. We're going to have a wonderful fellowship. To him will I him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father on his throne, etc. Verse 22, He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God saith to the churches. Did anyone pay attention? Well, not many, because we're at the end of the age. Wow. So, God, I'm in your presence. That's right. And God, how far do I have to go? And all of these things, not only John 12 and 30, all these things are for your sake. I didn't give my word for angels. I didn't give my word for the fun of it. I gave it for you. All Scripture is inspired, God breathed. It's full of life. Flesh, your old nature, all you can do is intellectually play games with it. That's all you can do, or deny it, or have theology and redo the whole thing. Or you can let it sink into your head and heart, and you'll find a wonderful God in whose presence you are. Did you hear his voice? No, I don't hear his voice. Why don't you ask that of people? Listen, I'm a believer. When's the last time he spoke to you? When's the last time God spoke to you? No, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. No, I didn't hear him. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and all that. God, where are we? We're nowhere. So deal with us according to your goodness. God, it's an awesome thing, and God, it's so marvelously simple and clear. God, no problem. It's just our unbelief, and we're so locked into our habits and our character and the way our society is, the way our history has been. We just never bother with you, God. We just don't do much. We read the Bible sometime, but we don't do much. So God, you know all about us. Spirit of God, honor the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, do what we don't know how to do it, God. And it's all of grace, all of your wonderful grace. God, thank you very much. Not about us, it's about you. So honor yourself in about among us. God, I don't know about the rest of the world. We just draw a little circle and stand in it. And we are responsible. God, we want to be able to have your well done. We don't want to say, will you, where are you in the light of what I'm saying? God, we want to be counted among those that honor your word, and allow you to be who you are in our little lives. God, work, home, school, we aren't trying to have the whole world figure it out. We just want to get to where we experience it exercise it, and enjoy being saved. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Mm-hmm. Wow. So we're going to sing if we can.